Good morning, everybody. Chag Atzmaut Sameach. Welcome to our special Yom HaZikaron / Yom HaAtzmaut Shir of the Young Israel of Vladimir. Shabbos this year is the 5th of Iyar, but Yom HaAtzmaut is observed as a nidcha, if you will, to prevent Chilul Shabbat on a mass level in the state. So today we observe the 73rd birthday of Medinat Yisrael. I would like to dedicate this shir to the Aliyah Neshama of my husband's maternal grandparents. Rivka Bas Menachem Mendel Halevi, Alaha Hashalom, whose yurtzeit is Shabbos, 5th Iyar, and my husband's maternal grandfather, Simcha Moshe Ben Shlomo, Alav Hashalom, whose yurtzeit is 8th Iyar. My husband's grandparents died about 50 years apart. My husband's actually named after his grandfather, but their yurtzeit is 3 days apart. May both neshamas have aliyos in the schus of the Torah that we will share this morning. Yesterday was Yom HaZikaron, and before we have the celebration of Yom HaAtzmaut, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, Yom Echad. The day begins at night. Erev is the root word of Irbuvia, confusion, darkness. And before we can celebrate and give thanks to Hashem for the miracle of the state of Israel, we commemorate the tens of thousands who have fallen simply because they were Jews in the Holy Land. The enemy does not distinguish between Chiloni and Haredi, between Dati, Tzioni, Anti-Tzioni, Hasidish, Nachman Mibreslov. The enemy knows one thing, and the fallen, the tens of thousands of fallen, come from all walks of Jewish life. And yesterday was the day that we remember the sacrifice and the cost of having a state of Israel. I will quote from Miriam Peretz to begin today's shir. When we were in Israel almost 2 years ago, we took a tour of Har Herzl. I have spoken about it before. I highly recommend it. When the borders open again, Be'ezrat Hashem, if you want the name of the tour guide, it was some of the best few hundred dollars I feel we have ever spent, not of the Herzl Museum, but of the military cemetery. We went to the grave of Professor Elman's son. We went to the grave of Zacharia Baumel, who had just been returned. A couple of months prior, we stood by the grave of the Peretz boys, Uriel and Eli Raz, Max Steinberg, the lone soldier, Chana Senish. Very, very moving. So I will just quote from Miriam Peretz, but keep in mind she is emblematic of thousands of families and millions of tears that are the cost of having Medinat Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. A few years ago, Miriam Peretz was chosen to light a torch at the official state ceremony on Har Herzl, Yom HaAtzmaut at night. And she speaks of this experience. Then the moment of truth arrived. The torch lighting ceremony takes place at the conclusion of the terrible day, Yom HaZikaron, Israel's memorial day for IDF soldiers. How could I switch from memorial for my sons to rejoicing in the blink of an eye? At the beginning of the day, I stood on Har Herzl, standing beside the graves of my sons. The graves of Uriel and Eli Raz are very close to each other. We were there, they're not far. Just like every other year, I am torn by the question of which son's grave I should stand next to during the siren. That year I stood next to Eli Raz, and I heard the Prime Minister speaking, and he was saying that on this hill, this evening, Miriam Peretz would be lighting a torch. I bent down to Eli Raz's grave, and I said, "You hear, Eli Raz? The Prime Minister is talking to you, you and Uriel." After the memorial ceremony of Yom HaZikaron, I went home. Hundreds of people came and went to my house, and at 4 p.m. my daughter Hadass said, "Ima, the taxi will arrive at 5. You have to start getting ready for the torch lighting." I felt confused. I was just talking with my friends about Uriel and Eli Raz. They fell in 1998 and 2010 respectively, in the north in battle with Hezbollah and in the south in battle with Hamas, respectively. Now I had to go to my room, I had to get dressed, I had to put on makeup. How could I make such a sudden transformation? When I got back to the living room, I was dressed in a black suit and heels. I was a different Miriam. Beside the staircase stood the friends who had come to me for Yom HaZikaron. They looked like they had come to see a bride going down towards her chuppah. It was surrealistic, slightly frightening, and I prayed to God. Tonight, among the flags and the lights, among the thousands who will be celebrating and rejoicing, let me see Uriel and Eliraz sitting in the audience. You have to help me, God. Don't let me see their graves. I was afraid I would shake or stumble, but then I heard the voice of Yehoram Gaon, the master of ceremony, and he announced my name with the song, Po Be'eretz Chemdat Avot, here in the beloved land of the forefathers. And that song was playing in the background, and my feet carried me forward. I walked onto the stage as if the weight of years had been lifted, as if the pain and the longing had disappeared. With each step, I sang to myself, Hitna'ari, may Afar Kumi. Shake yourself free. Rise up from the dust. We say that every night in the Chadodi. For just a moment, I was once more Miriam Ohayan, the young redhead full of life and happiness. And I heard my deceased father whispering in my ear, Ya Binti, my dear daughter, and my mother blessing me. When I lit the torch and I recited the standard phrase recited by all torchlighters, Litif Erat Medinat Yisrael, for the glory of the state of Israel, I knew the price of that glory. I saw Uriel and Eliraz standing before me, and I said to my sons, you are the glory. Thanks to you and your friends, we have a state. And today, we are celebrating its independence. I'm going to go to a piece by Rav Soloveitchik. What is the koach of the Jew? When you stand on Har Herzl, there are thousands of graves. There are graves and monuments to the fallen in the 1948 War of Independence. There are almost 3,000 soldiers who fell in the Yom Kippur War. When you read of the pain of an individual, it drives home that we're not talking about numbers. By Matan Torah, in Parshas Yisro, in Perek Yud Tes, Hashem warns Moshe that no one from the nation should touch the mountain, because if they touch the mountain of Har Sinai, when the glory of God descends, kavyachol, upon the mountain, v'nafal mimenu rov, many Jews will fall. So Rashi says, maybe many won't fall, maybe only one person will touch the mountain and die. So Rashi says, Hashem says, if even one falls, it's before me, as if it's many. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos Chof Amud Beis, Rav Avira said, the Malachei Hasharis, the ministering angels, said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Maseches Brachos Chof Amud Beis, it is said in the Torah, you show no favor and you take no bribe, say for Devarim Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Zayin, Lo Yisa Panim, Velo Yikach Shochad, Hashem will not show favoritism, Hashem will not take bribes. Yet you show favor to Israel, said the Malachi Asharis, like the Torah says, Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha, Parshas Naso, Perek Vav, the Birkas Kohanim. So the angel said, God, are you a God of contradiction? We want to lodge a complaint. In one place it says, Lo Yisa Panim Velo Yikach Shochad, you don't take bribes, you don't show favoritism. But to Knesset Israel, Ya'er Hashem Panav, you do show favoritism. What's going on? You're not just. You contradict yourself, Kaviyachol Ribono Sholem. So Hashem replied, and he said, should I not show favor to Israel? I wrote in the Torah, Sefer Dvarim Parachas, that one should recite Birkat HaMazon if he has been eaten, if he is eaten, and he associated V'achalta V'savata U'veirachta. If you're full, when you ate, then you should recite Birkat HaMazon. But they are meticulous to recite Birkat HaMazon even over something the size of an olive. Meaning, an olive doesn't fill a person up, but even if we eat a kizayis, literally kizayit, like an olive, then they recite Birkat HaMazon. So that's God's answer to the angels. The angels say, you say you don't show favoritism, lo yisa panu v'lo yikach shochad, but then you say to the B'nai Yisrael, you give them the Birkat Kohanim, ya'er Hashem, panav eidecha, so you do show favoritism. So Hashem says, I shouldn't show them favoritism. I commanded them to bless me, v'achalta v'sivata uveirachta es Hashem elokecha, if they are full. But they bless me even over a kezias, even over a paltry amount of food. So of course I show favoritism. What's going on here? What does this mean on a hashkafic level? Though such a meal, says Rav Soloveitchik. One sec, I just have to move things about the computer, the stander. Such a meal, says Rav Soloveitchik, does not provide satiation. Nevertheless, the Jew will recite Birkat HaMazon, which is blessing. What is the Rav Avira teaching us in this Gemara? Rav Avira said the angels complained to God. How did he know? Did Rav Avira hear them? Says Rav Soloveitchik. Did he hear them? Halacha Yishar's lodging a complaint in the heavenly tribunal? But when Chazal tell a story, says the Rav, they have each word in the proper place. Each word represents an idea. He quoted the angels because Rav Avira is teaching us the difference between angels and human beings. Angels are perfect beings. They completely carry out the assignment which is given to them by God. They don't waver. Should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? My Yetzer Hara says this. My Yetzer HaTov says this. There's no failure or omission when it comes to completing the task on behalf of the angels. There's no violation or rebellion on the part of the malachim. There is never failure because they are perfect beings. An angel ministers to God and fills the divine decree. Give Avram a refuah shleim, refuah shleim. Tell Sarah she'll have a baby, she's going to have a baby. Destroy Saddam, destroy Saddam. I don't know, could I really destroy Saddam? Maybe I shouldn't. An angel does what an angel is asked to do. Human beings, says the Rav, on the other hand, are weak and frail creatures. We are guilty of sin of omission and sins of commission. Many times man is corrupt. Many times man is dishonest. He doesn't understand himself or his duty. It is the waverings, the vacillations, the confusion within all of us. The assignment which has been given to man has never been fully fulfilled. Man can never reach the apex of perfection because he is a man and not an angel. Every human being has an assignment to carry out. We all come here with a tafkid. You're here for a purpose. Every human being has an assignment to carry out. But no one will ever succeed perfectly or fully. By definition, a human being will fail in some aspect or in multiple aspects of his life. Failure is characteristic of the human being, of the human condition. Complete success, absolute compliance, is a characteristic only of the angel. But, says the Rav, despite the angel's superiority, there is one thing a human being can manifest that an angel cannot. Sacrificial action. He stood at the grave of Max Steinberg, the lone soldier who fell Mifsat Sok Eitan from California. Zecharia Baumel, if you remember, after decades being held captive by his bala, his remains were returned with his boots and his dog tag and his tzitzit. And incredibly, they're next to his kever. I don't know if they're still there. You were there in the summer of 2019. I have a picture of it. There is one thing a human being can manifest that an angel cannot. sacrificial action. The angel is not exposed to the vicissitudes of life. The angel encounters no opposing forces. The human being is surrounded by nature. Nature is indifferent to man, vicious, hostile, violent. We just came out of a year, coming out of a year, I should say, but Ezrat Hashem, of a pandemic. Is there a better illustration that nature is indifferent to man, vicious, hostile, and violent? Natural law is cruel. In addition, man is exposed to temptation. We are exposed to impulses that induce us to violate commandments. Why do you sin? Why do I sin? Because we are tempted, and there are a variety of impulses that induce us to transgress. I know what God said, but my Yetzer Hara is so strong. So when a human being carries out an assignment, even in an imperfect manner, he pays a high price. The implementation of an assignment given to a human being is always a sacrificial action. A human being cannot accomplish anything in this world without sacrifice. A human being, a nation, risen from the ashes. My four grandparents, my husband's grandparents, to whom this year is dedicated, to their Aliyah and Neshama, were survivors. A human being cannot accomplish anything, including building a state, a modern day state in our old homeland, without paying a very high price. There's a section on Har Herzl which is dedicated to the survivors of the Holocaust who are nameless. They came off the ships with their numbers in their arms. They were given a gun and they fell in battle before anyone even knew their names. When a human being carries out an assignment, says the Rav, even in an imperfect manner. Yes, some oppose the state because it is imperfect. Well, we're not in Yemos HaMashiach. Some oppose the fact that it is not a dati establishment. The state is not run according to fully Torah and mitzvah. When a human being carries out an assignment, even in an imperfect manner, he pays a high price. I urge you all to hire a tour guide and go to Har Herzl. It's worth every dollar. And look at the price that we pay for these 73 years so that Eretz Yisrael can be Medinat Yisrael. The implementation of an assignment given to the human being is always sacrificial action. To build or do anything for Yahadut, says the Rav, to bring up children properly, to live a decent life, to build. He's not talking, by the way, of the state of Israel. I'm quoting from a sefer called Blessing and Thanksgiving. Beautiful sefer. About the YU book sale. Well, not this year or last year because of the pandemic, so probably the year before. He's not talking about the state, but I think that this passage is so relevant to the Inyanei Dayoma. To build or do anything for Yahadut spells sacrifice. Without sacrificial action, there is no service of God. So the angel is coming back to the Shaila on the Gemara. What is Rabbi Avira talking about? The angel's logic can play. You said you don't show favor, but you show favor. So God answers by saying, of course I show favor. I told them to bench if they're full. They bench over Keziah. What's the question? What's the answer? What's the pshat? The angels are perfect beings, says the Rav, and they complain to God because to them perfection is simple. They don't know what it means to abide by God's will in a society which may be completely secular, which may be cynical and sarcastic. They don't know what it means to meet opposition. They don't know what it means to have a dilemma. You know, should I go to the tent of Abraham or shouldn't I go to the tent of Abraham? I'm not sure. Do I really want to destroy Sodom? Maybe I'll go, maybe I won't go. They don't have an inner dilemma. They don't live in a society that is secular and cynical and sarcastic. The angel has never had a test. The angel has never had a temptation. To the angel, life is simple, direct, and automatic. There is no opposition, there's no evil instinct, there's no good instinct. But man is shaken by conflict. Man is shaken by struggle. Miriam Parrott says that the pasuk that has become her banner since the death of her sons is from Megillat Eicha. Ki gadol kayam shivreich mir pelach. Your brokenness is as vast as the sea. Who can heal you? So the angels complain to God, you're so forgiving, you're so tolerant towards human beings. I thought you don't bear special regard. Justice must prevail, said the angels. He who sins should be punished. Why do you forgive? Why do you tolerate? Why do you preserve? Why do you have patience? Why do you bestow chesed on human beings, on Jews? There should be no balls, baseball rules, in the realm of heaven, said the angels. It should be a strikeout only. What do you mean there's a ball? You give them another chance and another chance and they get to four chances? No, one strike, you're out, finished. It's so cut and dry for the angels. They never struggle. They never vacillate. Miriam Parrott says she stands at the graves of her children and she recites chapter 23 of Psalms, Kapitel Chav Gimel, which I recited when I was there. At their graves. And she says, I say the words, Gam ki elech begeitz al mavet, lo irara ki ata imadi. Even if I shall walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I have no fear, for you are with me. I am already walking, says Miriam, in the valley of the shadow of death. Judith Lillian Greenbaum was from our neighborhood, is my understanding. She was an only child. She was pregnant with what would have been her parents' first grandchild. And she, an only child, was murdered in the Sabara bombing. An angel never vacillates. An angel never goes to her Herzl and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, what are you doing? This is the cost of having a state. The early Zionists believed that if we had a state, it would solve the Jewish problem. That was the entire impetus for establishing the state of Israel. That was their dream, Herzl, Jabotinsky. They believed if we all go live in our own place, they will stop killing us. Sadly, we know that is not true, and that is not the case. And yet, says Esther Waxman of her son Nachshon, she, Esther, was born in a DP camp to Holocaust survivor parents. And she says that my son died wearing the uniform of the Jewish army. So the angels complain to God, how could you be so forgiving? They don't cry, they don't vacillate, they don't ask questions. I shouldn't say they don't cry, as I'm saying that someone's going to say, what about the angel's tears that fell into Yitzchak's eyes by that kid? So God answers about Birkat HaMazon. Says the Rav, it is metaphorical. What it signifies is that it is easy for angels to sing the praises of God. Shalcheni ki Allah ha-shachar, lo ashalachacha ad ki imberchani. Why does he have to leave? From the day I was created, it's my turn to sing Shira. I have to go. The angels never struggle. It's never a problem for them to praise and to sing. To say, Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilam Chasto Zaya Masa Hashem Nagila Venis Mechabal, they never have an issue. They're never sick. They're never hungry. Risa Rotman, if you didn't read it, you should read her book, Tara and Amuna and Harnof, the other Harnof Kedoshim, were murdered and instantly killed. Risa's husband, Chaim Howie Rotman, Hashem Yunkom Damo, lingered for 1 year between life and death. He never recuperated from his mortal injuries, which he sustained in the axing. 1 year before his neshama ascended. Risa says in her book, I ask God, please do not let me become bitter. When we were in Eretz Yisrael 2 years ago, Risa arranged the shiur. I went to her apartment. I met her and some of her children. She drove me by the Harnof Shul. She said, do you see the doors? Do you see the bullet holes? An angel never has trouble saying Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos, Malah Ha'aretz Kavodo, because they are perfect beings. They are never sick, they are never hungry, says the Rav. They have never been in exile. They don't know what death is. They don't want to know what loneliness is. They don't know of solitude. They don't know of despair. In Tel Aviv, if you walk on the boardwalk, there's a big monument to the Dolphinarium. Disco bar, whatever. It was mostly Russian immigrants, over 20 young, older teenagers, were blasted to death. They don't know what death is. They don't know loneliness. They don't know galut. They don't know loneliness. They don't know despair. It's no problem for the angel to say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But sometimes, says the Rav, it is very hard for man to say it. I put down the book. I'm going to open it again. When I lit the torch and I reached the standard phrase recited by all torchlighters, Litif Eret Medinat Yisrael, I knew what the price of that glory was. I saw my Uriel, he was 22 when he fell, and my Eliraz, he was 31, with a wife and 4 children. And I said to my sons, you are the Tiferet of Medinat Yisrael. Thanks to you and your friends with whom you share the graves on this hill, we have a state. And despite our losses, today we celebrate its independence. Sometimes it is hard for man, says the Rav, to say the bracha, the benediction of Baruch Dayan Ha'emet, the blessing recited at a funeral. Such a bracha tears a human being apart. How much discipline the halacha demands of us. Someone who I learn with, I want to see if her mother's on this call now. I mentioned her last week as my close friend, because last week's shiur I dedicated to the memory of Grandma Trudy. So earlier in the week I learned with Melissa, my dear friend Melissa Spector. We learned about Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmut. And just yesterday afternoon she texted me and she said, we forgot about Ezra Schwartz. She said, I didn't remember, and I looked it up. It was 2015. An angel never says, I'm confused. An angel never says, what are you doing? An angel never says, this hill with all these graves is the prize of the state. It wasn't enough in the gas chamber, so we came here and with numbers on our arms, they fell before anyone knew their name. Lulek said Naftali to his younger brother behind the barrack in Buchenwald. They're taking me. I can't be sure if I will ever come back from where they're taking me. You are a big boy now, Lulek. You're almost 8 years old. They have taken father. They have taken Milek. Mother, I don't know if she is alive. And I don't know if I will come back. Lulek, remember two words. Eretz Yisrael. I knew not one word of Hebrew, says Rabbi Lau. But I repeated those words. If you get out of here, if there will be a miracle and you survive, said Naftali, don't go anywhere else. Tell them you are only going to Eretz Yisrael. Quote, it's the only place in the world where they don't kill Jews. Behind the barracks in Buchenwald. Little Lulek, says my brother spoke to me about for a moment, but those words are seared into my memory as if they were his last. Lulek, of course, grew up to become the chief rabbi of the state of Israel. Discipline, halacha demands discipline in matters of food, as far as our physical actions are concerned. You can't eat whatever you want. We spoke about the chazir last week. By the way, I'm not crazy. Someone, an online listener, thank you Hashem, emailed me to say chew and swallow is the town of cloudy with a chance of meatballs. I said, thank you. I feel better. Last week, we learned about Parsha Shmini. The halacha demands discipline in terms of what you eat. This week is Tazria Mitzrayim. The halacha demands discipline in terms of what you speak. You can't speak what you want, when you want, how you want. You can't eat. You can't use the facilities without laws. You can't be intimate with your spouse without laws. There are discipline in matters of food, says the Rav. There's discipline as far as our physical action is concerned. But discipline in the matters of food, listen carefully, and discipline as far as physical action. So the discipline, how to take the arba minim. I don't know, you can't take the lulav alone and the esrog 3 hours later, and you can't leave out the hadassim. There's discipline in physical action. There's discipline in matters of food. But they are not as difficult as the discipline that the Torah demands of us in regard to our emotional life. It's far easier not to eat the chazir that we spoke about last week in depth than to stand on Har Herzl and understand that God is the Tov, the Hamitiv. There are laws that require one to be superhuman in order to properly fulfill and implement these laws. We stood at one grave, I don't remember the name of the fallen, and the tour guide told us that every week on, I don't remember if it was a Tuesday, the grandfather of that boy would come every week at the same time and tend to the caver of his grandson. For example, says the Rav, if one buries a member of his family who is very dear to him, and he feels as if he were burying part of himself, Miriam says, and when the three angels came to tell me I no longer had a child, like the three angels who went to Abraham to tell him he would have a child, the first time I knew of Miriam Peretz was exactly in this room. She stood right here, and I sat right there. And I took a lot of notes. She said, I locked the doors, the windows, I shut the trisim. This is a normal house. A normal house does not lose two sons. And someone was burying a member of his family who was very dear to him. And then an hour later, it's Passover, another holiday. Ironically, Miriam's second son fell, Erev Shabbat HaGadol. She says the white tablecloth is on the table. The house was kasher for Pesach. This person has just witnessed the complete absurdity, the nonsensical aspect of human life. And he has to lift the cup of wine, recite the Kiddush, and in Halal he will say, Yasor Yisrani Ka, V'lamavis Lo Nisanani. This is a strange experience, but the halacha demands it. Many have done it. Not only, says the Rav, exceptional individuals. A Jew can say Birkat HaMazon in the concentration camp. The same Birkat HaMazon with the same dedication and devotion as if he has eaten a sumptuous meal, as if he were completely satisfied. What's the pshat of the Gemara? What's Rabbi Avira teaching us? God says, I tell them to bless me only if they're full, if life is great. If there's no military cemetery, if there's no cost, if there's no Fogel family, if there's no Halal Yafa Riel, if there's no Ezra Schwartz, if there's no Harnov murder. I tell them, V'achalta, V'savata, you're satiated, you're full, life is Geschmack. V'erachta. Then you bless me. And what does the Jew say? I only have a kezias. I have so little. I'm so hungry for meaning. I'm so hungry for an explanation. But nevertheless, you will still say, Zehoyah Masa Hashem, Nagila v'nismicha bo. Because Allah avda tikvatenu, Hatikva bat shnat alpayim. Through the Crusades and the Cossacks and the blood libels and the Spanish Inquisition and the pogroms and the Holocaust. Every day the Jew said, V'yushalayim ircha v'rachamim tashuv. V'sishkon besocha kasher dibarta. I shouldn't show them favoritism, says the Almighty. I told them to bless me when life is great, when they understand, when things make sense. V'savata, then uveirachta. Miriam Peretz is able to walk up to the stage and say, Hitna Ari, may Afar Kumi, Livshi Bigde, Tif Arteich Ami. A human being, says the Rav, will never be perfect. Because we're human beings, we will never be perfect. But this attempt on his part to be perfect, we try. We're trying so hard, God. My son sent me a cute meme. I told it over yesterday to the girls at Stern College. It's on YU Torah. So if you listen to that share already, a different share, you heard it, but it made me smile. I don't mean to brag, but I'm still counting Israeli elections with a bracha. We're trying so hard to figure out, Hashem, what you want from us. And sometimes we're confused. And sometimes we lack clarity. Sometimes we don't understand. But we're trying. A human being will never be perfect, says the Rav. But the attempt on his part to be perfect involves something that angels cannot give God. Sacrifice. Withdrawal. God did not demand that we say Birkat HaMazon when we're hungry. And hunger here does not only mean hashkafically physical hunger. God did not demand we say Birkat HaMazon when we're hungry. We have taken this duty upon ourselves. As the whole Torah begin, Bereshis bar Elohim, Esa Shemayim, Ve'esa Aretz. One of the most famous Rashis on Chumash. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Lohaya tzarich lahatchil et ha-Torah, ala min ha-Chodesh ha-Zelechem. Shehi mitzvah rishona, shenitztavu bo Yisrael. I don't understand. If the Torah is a law book, ho-ra'a, mo-ra, Torah instruction, so start with the first mitzvah, Parshas Bo. Perek Yud Beis of Shemos, Psukim Aleph through Beis. This month is for you the first month of the year, because that's the first mitzvah that Israel was commanded. Umatam Pasuk B'Bereishis. What is the reason that the Torah began with Bereishis? Mishum Koach Ma'asav Higid La'amo La'teit La'ham Nachat Goyim. Because God created the whole world, and it's His. Koach Ma'asav, the power of His deeds. Higid La'amo, He told His people to give us an inheritance amongst the nations. She'im yomru umo ta'olam le'Yisrael, listimatem, shekavashtem, at arzot umo ta'olam, you are robbers. The nations will come. The UN, Yimach Shemam, will come, and they will say, you're robbers. You stole our land, and they will take us to the international court to charge us with war crimes. You stole our land. We will be able to reply, Kol ha'aretz shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. The whole land is God's. Hu v'ra'a, He created it. Unisana la'asher yasher be'enav. He created it, and He gave it to whomever He wanted. With His will, He gave it to them. And then with His will, He gave it away from them and gave it to us. Maybe you shouldn't start with creation. Maybe you should start with mitzvot. That's the purpose of the Torah. It's not a storybook. It's not fairy tales. It's not Mother Goose and Grimm. It's not a bedtime story. It's a law book. So the first mitzvah, national mitzvah, HaChodesh is Elohim. Vishnu lachem lechodshe Hashana. Bishvil kolach ma'asav higid la'amo la'teit la'ham na'chat goyim. She'im yamru umosa olam listim atem she'kavashtem es arzo shivas kanani, the shivas kananim, we'll be able to say no. Kol archa kosh baruch hu, hu vera, v'nasan asher yashar be'enav. I heard Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, I don't know, a year ago, a few months ago, say a tremendous pshat into this Rashi. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg says, really? Do the Omas for all of them really care about this Rashi? You know, maybe we should divide Jerusalem. Maybe you should return the Golan Heights. And we say, oh no, look at Rashi. Zucht Rashi to Bereishis Paragal Pasuk Aleph. It's ours. Thank you. We can leave now. Negotiations over. Who's Rashi talking to? What kind of teaching is this? I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak. It's clearly not for the Umos HaOlam. They couldn't care less what Rashi says. Said Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, it's for us. We need to know that Eretz Yisrael is our land. We need to know where we belong. And if for whatever reason we're not there yet, we need to know what our goal and our aspiration is. And I'm going to take it a step further. We need to be proud of Eretz Yisrael and Medinat Yisrael, and they're not the same thing. Are we in Yemos HaMashiach? Is it perfect? Well, we should never be embarrassed, Chalila v'chas, of our old new homeland. That's how Bereishis begins, and how does Bereishis end? Vayomer Yosef al achav, anochi meit. Elokim pakod yivkor etchem, v'ha'ala etchem min ha'aretz hazos, el ha'aretz, asher nishba, la'avram, li'yitzchak, li'yakov. Now Bereishis begins, be proud of your land. God loves Eretz Yisrael. Should you not love Eretz Yisrael? Defend her, stick up for her, pray for her, remember her, long for her. And how does Bereishis end? And Yosef said to his brothers, I'm about to die. But I promise you that God will surely remember you, because Galut is not your home. And no matter how comfortable we feel, Rachmana Litzlan, all we have to do is look in the history books to remember where we belong and where we don't. And God will take you up from this land to the land that he swore to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And not only that, but Yosef and his brothers take an oath. But when you get out of here, take me with you. We're coming up to Shavuos. Oh my gosh. The meeting has been ended by the host. That once happened to me before. Everyone stay calm. This is actually being recorded. My talking is being recorded. That one's happened before. Holy moly. 1 second. That one's happened to me before in the middle of Shir.
Maybe.
1 second, please. Am I talking? I wasn't being recorded. That one's happened before. I have no idea why that just happened. Holy moly. Okay, let's daven that that does not happen again so I can finish this year. Wow. Okay. We're counting towards Shavuos, on which we will read Megillat Rut. People are pretty familiar with the reason why Elimelech was punished. Vayhi bimei shvat ha-shoftim, vayhi rav ba'aretz. It was in times of the Shoftim, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Beis Lachem Yehuda went to live in the fields of Moab with his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man, Pasuk Beis, was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naami, and their two sons were Machlon and Kilion, and they come to the fields of Moab. So Rashi is very famous, and we know Elimelech is going to die. They marry Moabite girls. The sons are going to die. The flocks are going to die. Why did they die? Rashi. Vayelech ish. Ashir gadol haya. He was very rich. Ufarnes hador. This is Rashi to Rus 1:1. And he was the sustainer of the generation. V'yatza me'aretz Yisrael lochutzlarz mipnei tzarut ha'ayin. He left from Eretz Yisrael, Beit Lechem Yehuda, to the fields of Moab because of tzarut ayin. He was stingy. He didn't want to give tzedakah anymore. There's a famine. They're all knocking on the door of the Parnes Hador, the sustainer of the generation. He was punished. That's what Rashi on the Megillah, on the Ksuvim says. If you open up Yonach Mikras Kudos to verse 1:1, Rashi tells you that he was punished because he didn't want to share his money and his food. But the Gemara in Bava Basra, Tzadi Aleph, Amar Aleph, says a little bit differently. The Kain Haya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. We're coming up to Lag Bomer. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai taught you. Elimelech, Machlon, and Kilion were Gedolei Hador Hayu. Elimelech, Machlon, and Kilion were Gedolei Hador. Ufarnesei Hador Hayu. They were not only Gedolei Hador, they were the sustainers of the generation. Umipnei Manna and Shu. Why were they punished? Oh, if you look at Rashi, Zucht Rashi, they didn't want to give tzedakah. You know what the Gemara says? You know what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says? Mipnei sheyatzu me'aretz l'chutz ala aretz. You know why they were punished? Because they left Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz aretz. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says at the end of Perek Aleph, v'tehom kol ha'ir alein v'tomarna hazon Naami. When Naami comes back with Rush, my gosh, she's a widow, a bereaved mother, all the flock, she's poor, and all she has is a Moabite daughter-in-law. Hazo Naami, this is Naami. Says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Ma'i hazo Naami. What does it mean when they say hazo Naami? I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak. I wonder if it's the same Rabbi Yitzchak. I'm joking. I don't think so. I don't know. There's a first Rashi. Wouldn't that be interesting? Because listen to what Rabbi Yitzchak says in the Gemara. It's Bava Basra 91.8. Sadi Av. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Interesting. Amru chazitem na'ami. Shayatzak me'eretz l'chutzlaretz ma'altala. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, when she came back and people said, Hazon Naami, you know what they were really saying? Did you see Naami? She left Eretz Yisrael for Chutzars. Did you see what happened to her? Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav. Elimelech v'salmon uploni almoni v'avi Naami, kulam b'nei Nachshon ben Aminadav. Elimelech, the guy who dies in the beginning of the story. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Ploni Almoni, who doesn't want to marry Rus, and Avi Naami, four brothers, were all the sons of Nachshon ben Aminadav. How great was Nachshon ben Aminadav? At the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, Sota 37a, everyone says, I'm not jumping into the sea, thank you very much. Ein ani yorei techiyo yam, kafatz Nachshon ben Aminadav. Wow. V'yarod liyam techila. Sometimes when it comes to Shidduch, people want to know what's the yichus. How great is the yichus? These four brothers had tremendous yichus. Says the Gemara. Ma'ika mashma. What do we learn from here? Sha'afilu mi sheyesh lo zchut avot. Eina omedet lo b'sha'a sheyotze me'aretz. L'chutz ala aretz. They had great zchus avos. I mean, their father was Nachshon, the son of Aminadav. To teach you that even one who is chus avos, the merit of the forefathers, that chus avos will not protect him in the time when he leaves Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz la'aretz. Going to end with a story from Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook Zatzal. A certain Jew once came to see him. He was the chief rabbi of Palestine under the British. He died before the state was established. A Yemenite Jew, whose sidelocks and beard were streaked with white hair, once came to Rav Cook. Come near, my son, said the Rav in a comforting voice. Slowly the man approached the Rav's desk and he remained standing. What is bothering you, my son, said Rav Cook to the Yemenite Jew. Kavod HaRav, I have come to ask an important question. For 25 years now, I have been working from morning till night in all types of manual labor. I have removed weeds from the fields, which were planted as orchards. I have planted trees. I have moved stones from rocky soil. I have dug holes to build houses in Eretz Yisrael. But despite all of my physical labor, I barely make enough money to support my family. My question is, can I emigrate to America to try my luck there? Maybe there I will be able to support my family. Rav Cook sat quietly. Suddenly he stood up. He pointed to his own chair and he said to the man, sit. How can I, a stranger, sit in your honor's chair? Sit, said Rav Cook. The man sat down. He immediately fell into a deep sleep. A short while later, the man woke up trembling. What happened, said Rav Cook. I had a dream, said the man. In my dream, I departed this world and I ascended to heaven. When I reached the gates of heaven, an angel standing at the entrance directed me to the heavenly court. And there before God stood the scales of justice. All of a sudden, horse-driven wagons began passing before me, loaded with packages of all sizes. They began unloading the packages and placing them on one side of the scale. And it was so heavy, the scale was weighted down. What are those packages? I said to the angel. These are the sins and transgressions that you committed during your days on earth. In this world, everything will be brought to truth. I was dismayed, but suddenly another group of wagons began to arrive. And this group of wagons was loaded with dirt, stones, trees, rocks, and sand. The angels loaded all of these materials on the other side of the scale, and it outweighed the scale of sin. What are these bundles of dirt and earth? I asked the angel. These are the rocks and stones that your hands toiled to remove from the Holy Land. They will stand by you and plead your case on account of your share in building the land of Israel. I watched the scales and the scale of merit with the trees and the rocks and the dirt and the sand got heavier and heavier. The scale of merit stopped moving and it overtook the scale of guilt. You see, my son, said Rav Kook, you have received an answer to your question from the heavens. King David says, you can go to Ir David and go back 3,000 years in time. The great King David, Melech Yisrael, Va'ata Hashem lo'olam teishev, chapter 102 of Tehillim, Kuf Beis. Va'ata Hashem lo'olam teishev, ziv v'zichrucha l'dor v'dor, ata takum, terachim tzion, ki eis l'chanana, ki v'mo'ed, ki ratzu avadecha es avameha, v'es afara yechoneinu, v'yiru goyim et shem Hashem, V'chol malchei ha'aretz et kivodecha. Ki bana Hashem tzion nir'eh b'kvodo. I said to my sons, you and your friends are the price we must pay for the glory of the state of Israel. V'achalta the Savata, Uve Rachta, Es Hashem Elokecha, Al Ha'aretz Hatova, Asher Nasam Lach, Latif Eret Medinat Yisrael, I wish you all a Chag Atzma'ut Sameach. Thank you, everybody.